When this future universal Hasnimus, Lentro Hamsunen, had finished inscribing his wiseacrings on this unprecedented Keshirat Lir, he arranged an enormous and costly banquet to which he invited the learned beings from all over Nevia, taking upon himself all their traveling expenses. And at the end of the feast, he showed them his Keshirat Lir. The learned beings gathered at that free banquet from almost the whole of Nevia were at first so flabbergasted at the sight of this unique Keshirat Lir that they were, as is said there, struck dumb. And it was only after some time that they began to look at each other with amazement and to exchange opinions in whispers. Above all, they asked one another how it was possible that not a single being, ordinary or learned, had known or guessed that in their own country there existed a learned being with such knowledge. Suddenly, the oldest one of them, and the most renowned, jumped up on the table like a boy, and with the intonation long since proper to the learned beings of new formation, which has also reached contemporary learned beings, proclaimed the following. Listen, all of you, and try to realize that we, assembled here as representatives of the beings of the earth, we who have already, thanks to our great knowledge, attained independent individuality, now have the privilege of being the first to behold with our own eyes the coming of a Messiah of divine consciousness sent from above to reveal world truths to us. Thereupon began that pernicious praising to the skies, which has always been practiced among the learned beings of new formation, and which prevents any true knowledge that happens to reach them from evolving there, as it does everywhere else in the universe, if only through the passage of time. On the contrary, owing to this maleficent practice, even the knowledge already attained is destroyed, and its possessors become shallower and shallower. Well, then, all the learned beings began shouting and pushing each other in order to get near Lentro Hamsunen, and hailing him as their long-awaited Messiah, they expressed to him, by their admiring glances, the depth of what is called their titillation. The most interesting thing about all this is the reason why these learned beings were so worked up and gave vent so freely to their learned cacklings, which was that there had been formed in the psyche of your favorites, thanks, as always, to the same abnormally established conditions of ordinary existence, a certain extremely strange conviction that anyone who becomes a follower of a well-known and important being will appear to others to be almost as well-known and important himself. So, on the strength of his being very rich, and what is more, now very famous, all the other learned beings of the country of Nevia immediately expressed their approbation of this Lentro Hamsunen. Well, my dear boy, no sooner had the learned scientists of Nevia returned home after this banquet than they began talking at first to their neighbors and later here and there and everywhere about that extraordinary Keshirat Lir. And foaming at the mouth, they asserted and proved to everybody the truth of those revelations which the great Lentro Hamsunen had inscribed upon this Keshirat Lir. The result of it all was that the ordinary beings of the city of Kronbuchan, as well as of other cities of Nevia, talked among themselves of nothing but these revelations, and gradually, almost everywhere, as usually happens there, beings became divided into two opposing parties, one of which favored the invention of the future universal Hasnimus, and the other favored the already well-established forms of being existence. Thus it continued for almost a whole terrestrial year, during which the ranks of the contending parties increased everywhere, while toward each other, one of their specific properties, called hate, also increased. And one sorrowful day in the city of Kronbuchan, they suddenly broke out between the followers of these two conflicting currents, the process of what is called civil war. Civil war is the same as war. The only difference is that in ordinary war, beings of one community destroy the beings of another community, whereas in civil war, the process of reciprocal destruction goes on among beings of one and the same community. For example, brother annihilates brother, father, son, uncle, nephew, and so on. During the first 4 days, while that horrible process was at its height in Kronbuchan, and the attention of the other beings of the whole country of Nievia was concentrated on it, everything was still relatively quiet in the other cities, except for occasional skirmishes here and there. But at the end of the fourth day, those who were for the invention of Lentrohamsinen, that is, for the learned beings, were victorious in Kronbuchan, and from then on, the same process began in all the large and small cities of Nievia. This widespread and horrible process continued until a horde of learned beings appeared who, feeling firm ground beneath their feet, compelled all the surviving beings to accept Lentrohamsinen's ideas and immediately destroyed everything. From then on, all the three-brained beings of Nievia became followers of the invention of Lentrohamsinen, and soon afterwards, there was established in that community a special form of government called a republic. Still later, the community of Nievia, having by then become great and powerful, began, as usually happens there, making war on neighboring communities for the purpose of imposing upon them its new form of state organization. And so, my boy, on the largest continent of your planet, the processes of reciprocal destruction again began to take place among these strange three-brained beings. And at the same time, there were gradually changed and finally destroyed those various beneficent forms of ordinary existence, which had been established thanks to the ideally foreseeing reason of our now most saintly Ashiada Shemash. Therefore, there again arose on the surface of your planet, only to be destroyed anew and to give place to others, numerous separate communities with every kind of inner state organization. Although the direct effect of that maleficent invention of the now universal Hasnamos Lentrohamsinen was that the practice of existing in separate communities was revived among your favorites, and although they again resumed their periodic reciprocal destruction, yet in some of these newly arisen independent communities on the continent of Asia, beings still continued to conform in their ordinary existence to many of the wisely foreseen usages of the very saintly Ashiada Shemash, which had been inseparably fused with the automatic process of their daily life. And so, those who were to blame for the final destruction of the usages and customs that still remained in certain communities were the aforementioned learned beings who had been assembled in the city of Babylon, and they were to blame owing to the following circumstances. At the General Planetary Conference of all the learned beings on that famous question of the beyond, which was organized in Babylon, it happened that among those who went there of their own accord was the great-grandson of Lentrohamsinen, who had himself become a learned being. He brought with him an exact copy, on papyrus, of his great-grandfather's famous Cashirite Lear, the original of which he had received by inheritance. And at the very height of the frenzy unleashed by the question of the soul during one of the last big general meetings of the learned beings, he read aloud the text of that maleficent invention of his great-grandfather, whereupon it occurred, as had become proper to the strange reason of these sorry scientists, that from one question that interested them, they at once passed to quite another, namely, from the question of the soul to the question of what is called politics. Then, all over the city of Babylon, meetings and discussions on the subject of various kinds of state organizations, those already existing and those which, in their opinion, ought to be formed. Of course, all their discussions were based on the truths expounded in the invention of Lentrohampsonin, as reproduced on the papyrus brought by his great-grandson, a copy of which almost every learned being in Babylon carried in his pocket. For several months they discussed and argued, and they ended up by splitting into parties. That is to say, all the learned beings then in the city of Babylon split into three independent sections under the following names. The first, the section of the Legomenists. The second, the section of the Neomothists. The third, the section of the Paleomothists. Each of these sections soon had its adherents among the ordinary beings of Babylon. Once again, things would certainly have ended in civil war if the Persian king, getting wind of all this, had not immediately cracked them on their learned noddles. On his orders, some of these learned scientists were executed. Others were imprisoned with lice, and still others were banished to places where even now, as Mullah Nasruddin would say, French champagne cannot be found. The few who were found to have been mixed up in all this, only because they were obviously mad, were permitted to return to their own countries, while those who had taken no part whatever in political questions were not only given full liberty to return to their native lands, but by order of the Persian king, their departure was even conducted with full honors. And so, my boy, those Babylonian learned beings who for various reasons survived and were scattered over almost the whole surface of the planet continued by momentum to Wiseacre, taking as their basis, not consciously, of course, but simply mechanically, the two leading questions that had arisen during those Babylonian events and had become the theme of the day, namely the famous question concerning the soul of man and the internal state organization. The result of these wiseacreings of theirs was that throughout the continent of Asia, civil wars broke out in various communities, and the process of mass reciprocal destruction between different communities started up once more. The destruction of the last remnants of the conscious labors of the very saintly Ashiad HaShemash thus continued on the continent of Asia for about a century and a half. Yet, in spite of this, certain customs created by Ashiad HaShemash for the good of their being existence were still preserved in some places and continued by momentum. But when the three-brained beings of the neighboring continent, now called Europe, began taking part in these Asiatic wars, and when hordes led by the arch-vainglorious Greek called Alexander of Macedonia overran almost the whole continent of Asia, they made, as is said, a clean sweep from the surface of that ill-fated planet of everything that had been established and preserved. So clean a sweep that not a trace was left, even of the memory that there once existed on their planet such bliss, intentionally created for their existence by that reason whose possessor is now one of our seven most saintly omnicosmic individuals, without whose participation even our uni-being common father does not allow himself to actualize anything.